Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We are ready for your report. Are you ready to start piping in on how well things are going for you? Have you started? Actually, you should be able to get your petition. This is a copy of a rough draft. The reason it's a rough draft is because I still haven't gotten input yet. But bottom line, have you downloaded this? Have you looked at this? And are you ready to move forward with your petitioning? Remember, these petitions are designed for two purposes. They're designed to remove tyrant governors, and they're designed to actually remove anybody that will not support the Constitution. Because bottom line, they take an oath to support the Constitution. You provide a First Amendment petition. They're obligated to hear it, and they are obligated to respond. And if they fail to do so, you can call for their heads, any public servant's head. We need to do that. We need to be very specific and do that very specifically. So, they're not going to see this coming. I'm telling you. These public servants are not going to see this coming. They're going to be standing there flat-footed with their jaw on the ground as they're picking themselves up off of the floor from being thrown out of office. Now, it may take a while to get these people thrown out of office, but I'm telling you, you will be able to do this because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And if they fail to support, if you call them out to support the Constitution and to do their job, and they fail to do so, I'm telling you, this will start happening in red states. And over time, the only way blue states are going to be able to suppress this is by violating the Constitution, which is really, it's only going to be delaying their funerals. Because they're going to be clinging on, they're clinging, it's like Baghdad Bob, it's just a matter of time. I mean, they're capitulating, and they will capitulate because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. That simple. Now, this show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the evidence-based solutions that are necessary, just like this, using petitions, using common law grand juries to drive forward Republic Review. We want to canonize or definitize the Constitution. It is critical that we definitize the Constitution so that everybody understands. And actually, I owe Peter, a talk show host in Pennsylvania, I owe him a copy of my ratification debates. You know what that means? GR is going to have to make a little note here. And so forgive me while I'm on air doing this, but I think I can move forward. One of the things we also want to do is let's do a couple of quick promos here because, as you know, we are promoting Timber Nation. If you're looking for really quality products, then what we need to do is send you to timbernation.com. And what we can do is actually have you look at the products. The products will speak for themselves. This is solid oak, 2 inches. Your surface is 2-inch thick solid oak, solid walnut, solid, I don't know if they do hickory, but they'll do any hardwood you want. Cherry, birch. They've got a maple that has this tiger stripe. You should go look at this tiger stripe maple. It is absolutely stunning because it creates this almost a three-dimensional view of how it stands out from the grain itself. It's beautiful. So anyway, what we want to do is, have you take a look. If you're looking for bookshelves, if you're looking for desks, tables, audio racks, you name it, they can do it. They can do custom work. As a matter of fact, I kind of sent them a drawing. You know, I used a Visio program and kind of created a drawing for some table space, and they knocked it out. And their prices are reasonable. The most important thing is you're not paying for shipping. Look at all of these other furniture places that you pay, you know, pay for the furniture and shipping. If you're getting free shipping, you're spending a lot more, especially if you actually do comparative pricing, because my wife and I, we looked at, you know, barn furniture and all that kind of crap. And the problem with some of these companies, you have to be really careful, because some of these companies are really far left liberal companies. I mean, really left, supporting the green initiatives and that kind of crap. So you want to make sure that we're supporting, and we want to make sure that you're supporting a good, patriotic, family-ran company. Timber Nation. Radio Dust Covers, same thing. RadioDustCovers.com. Go check them out if you're looking for covers for your equipment, printers, what have you. Red Pill Expo is coming up. We're doing everything we can to get me there, and hopefully my better half will be there as well. We just got some scheduling. We got to get some clarity on scheduling and some other things on her side and so forth, but we're looking to be there. Now, one of the things we're going to get into, I didn't get into in the last episode, was this targeting of conservative organizations, targeting people like myself who are espousing the Constitution. We want you to understand, this is a marketing show when we do that type of thing. What we want to finish up today is we want to finish up the Bill of Rights and why we need to have a movement of people demanding their rights. Not only the rights that have been taken, we need rights that will protect us moving into the 21st century, moving into artificial intelligence and these types of things. There is no reason why we should be allowing corporations and government to be able to capture our private data, sell it, and provide it to others and share data. If you don't want that to happen, you should be able to opt out, and they should be able to prove that you're not doing it. In other words, there should be some form of, what do you want to call it, a third-party verification, just to go through at random and say, okay, here's a person that's opted out, and, oh, no, look, you still have them. You're still sharing that person's data. You're still collecting that data. Interesting, because I know there's people that actually want these corporations to have all, you know, to make their digital footprint so big that they're bigger than life itself. Well, they're entitled to be the fools that they want to be, but you're entitled to be able to say, no, you can't have my data. That is my essence, and I have a right to it, and you don't. And so just because you signed these stupid software agreements doesn't mean that you are held to that. As a matter of fact, the states should make most of those software agreements illegal when it comes to your intellectual property and your essence, your private data. So anyway, and I've already made that note to self, get those ratification debates out there. So anyway, what we want to do is get into some more obligatories. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416. We have, hopefully, we have Harry listening. And we want to actually get this radio show out to any liberal. I don't want to say necessarily liberal, but somebody that voted for Biden that claims to be a conservative. They say, you know what, I just hated his tweets, but I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm really a conservative, but I voted for Biden because I just hated Trump. Those Trump haters that voted for Biden but considered themselves conservative, they need to start, if you know any, tell them they need to start listening to this show. Because what we'll do is we'll prove that voting for a communist is only giving them what they believe is a mandate to do whatever they want. Because they believe we live in a democracy. They believe that you voted for them, they can do whatever they want. They're not constrained by the Constitution because you voted for them. Well, that's not in the Constitution. what's in the Constitution, they have to support the Constitution. That's why they take an oath, to support the Constitution. That's why Section 3 in the 14th Amendment exists, to remove them if they violate their oath of office. So we have a really, this is an ironclad position. Now, I was fine with anybody going after Trump for violating the Constitution, but come on. Allowing Biden to obtain office when you knew this man was going to trample on it left and right. You can't tell me it was just about the mean tweets. You cannot tell me it was just about this, you know, there was just something about this guy. I just don't like him. You know what? As I told Harry, you know, Harry, you may not like, you know, his personality, whatever it is you don't like, it doesn't matter. This man was at least trying to execute the job as close as he possibly could. He did a great job on defense. He did a great job on trade. Those things are within his bailiwick. COVID-19 is not within his bailiwick. It was a state issue and is a state issue. And what he should have done was he should have used the Department of Justice, an unconstitutional department, to go after all these unconstitutional states that were taking away our rights. Now, the Constitution Day is coming up this Friday. And we're looking to be broadcasting on Rumble. And as a matter of fact, we hope to actually have our Constitution Day show actually aired on Rumble, and we'll give you the information on it. I believe it's freedom.tyranny is the Rumble page, and we're working with these gentlemen in helping people understand the Constitution. I love it. I love people wanting to understand the Constitution. We're here to help them. We're not from the government. We'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's get into this thing called patents and patent laws, because as I explained, the United States was, in the Constitution, the federal government was supposed to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries, okay? So it wasn't to be a lifetime plus. It wasn't to be, as I actually said, the initial patent laws, basically they went to 14 years.
And today, because we have such a connected society, I think 14 years is excessive, because I believe technology travels a lot faster. And as a matter of fact, I forget the, there is a name for the cycle. So there's this name for this cycle for technology that every 18 months, things double. The things double in size, they double in speed, and I forget that it's a principle. And one of the things that really, you know, kind of aggravates companies is the is that principle, that 18-month principle. Why? Because when they do the tooling to create a product, you know, back in the old days, remember, when they made a product, it lasted for 4 or 5 years before they replaced that product. One, it took that long to saturate the market. And two, it helped them obtain their maximum profits off of the tooling that they had did in that manufacturing of that one product. Because when they come out with a whole new version, they have to change, especially if it's a significant change, like going from hard drive to solid state. And so that's one of the reasons why Samsung, who never built a hard drive, but was able to come into the solid state market and beat most of the people, which is why they're one of the leading solid state drives out there. Well, okay, that makes sense, because they didn't have to suck up the losses of changing their manufacturing and tooling and going from a hard drive to a solid state. This is one of the reasons why Seagate, Western Digital, and those types of companies are kind of flat-footed. I mean, they're trying to compete, but they're really not that competitive. I don't know many people that buy their SSDs or their solid-state drives. And with NVMEs, the non-volatile something memory, anyway, these NVMe drives, well, then we're now getting into a completely different bear. Technology is moving forward. And that's great if you like to have these types of leaps. Now, the problem is like I said, these companies are trying to create these patents for a long period of time. Well, it's antithetical to that principle of being able to do an 18-month leap of, you know, things doubling in speed, doubling in capacity. And as a matter of fact, if you really look at, you know, solid state drives, what you would have bought 5 years ago or 3 years ago on a solid state drive, you're buying that for maybe less, but it's not like you can buy for what you paid 3 years ago for a double the size drive. Like if you bought a 1 terabyte, you cannot get a 2 terabyte drive because they're actually able to extend. I mean, they may be making them bigger, but they're able to extend their profits and holding those lines just because it's not that competitive. And they know this. Samsung knows that nobody's really competing with them. Intel knows that nobody's really competing with them. The few manufacturers that are making these things. Now, actually, there's a lot of people making them, and you can get all the different types of stuff that is, you know, questionable, ADATA or what have you. Some of these are newcomers that are out to prove themselves. That's okay. That's what a free market does. But one of the things you don't know is you may not know that there are actually free OSs, operating systems out there. Unix was literally designed as, or I should say, in the beginning of Unix, Unix was intended to be a free operating system. It wasn't until Sun Microsystems, IBM, and all these other companies came out with their own version. AIX for IBM, it was Solaris for Sun, Irix for SGI, so forth and so on. They did this because they tried to make what they were doing proprietary. Now, that's okay, it's a free market. And if you can differentiate your proprietariness, then you can sell, you know, your product. Well, SGI did a really good job in selling this product until the government killed it. And the funny thing was, the government was very dependent on it. And while they were still dependent on it, they killed it. So what do you expect is going to happen if you're riding a horse full speed and you shoot it? That's right, that dead horse is going to land on you. And so it took years and a lot of money at the expense of the federal government to actually get out from underneath SGI, a lot of money. And see, it was all political, because Bezos, as well as Ellis and other high-tech companies, said, hey, we can send you in a different direction that's going to be better. And they couldn't, and they didn't. And as a matter of fact, what they ended up doing was they ended up, the federal government was literally, and I talked about this on my show before, they were strapped across a barrel with Amazon and AWS. And now, if I understand correctly, they're finally scuttling that because Amazon kept on wanting more and more money from them. This was a no-bid contract, my friends. When there were companies out there that were willing to almost give away the store, like SGI was willing to give away the store to go to a Linux and a cloud-based computing, but no, you know who drove this? Clapper. Clapper said, no way. I don't want to have anything to do with that because I'm heavily invested in Sun and Ellis's Oracle database and those types of things. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Really? Now, I'm guessing that he was heavily invested because I don't see the incentive of why he went down that path to take something that was already running on an IRIX base and be able to move it and port it to Linux. He literally forced this jump from Sun to actually going into Linux later, but that was well after, like I said, the horse had died on SGI. Anyway, if you're looking to actually get free stuff, it's out there. You can get a free OS, or you can get a free Linux. Actually, Linux, and I'll mispronounce the guy's name because I'm really bad. I know it's Linux or Linux. I think it's Linus Tuvalu or something like that. Anyway, it was his intent that Linux be a free OS. The only reason Red Hat, Ubuntu, and these other companies have these, again, it's proprietary. They tried to create a proprietary version of Linux. Now, I have some friends that I've said, you know what? What you need to do is you need to come out with CentOS, which is the free version of Red Hat. It's the free version of Linux. And I told my friends, if you came out with a version of CentOS and integrated all the different free open source, you know, applications like OpenOffice and all of these things so that you could, you know, basically provide somebody a package deal where they have everything integrated, that when they, you know, install this OS, they've got all the applications that they would need. Or they could do custom work and do that for them. And as they do that, they would be able to, you know, grow this service, because every time people wanted to jump or what have you, they would do that service for them. Because I truly believe that there's a lot of people that want to get off of Microsoft. I believe there's a lot of people that want to get off of Apple. Because right there, both those companies are doing what? They're spying. They're looking and harvesting data from you specifically. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to give them your personal data? I don't think anybody really wants that. I think everybody's becoming more and more concerned, especially as we see ourselves moving towards a totalitarian state. And as we see these tech companies actually embracing totalitarian states like China, when Google, Amazon, Apple, and all of these types of companies are begging to get into and support China with what they're doing. Are you kidding me? Going to mom and pa and small is going to be the better way to go. And as a matter of fact, you know, learning the OSs, learning CentOS and those types of things may be a little difficult, but it might be worth it just to be able to take control of your own domain and be able for you to manage your own digital footprint instead of letting big tech manage it for you. So anyway, as I was stating, I just want to repeat this. Much of the software, OS stuff, and hardware stuff in the world, this technology is actually dependent on original technology. In other words, they're not really creating new technology. When they went from SCSI to Fiber Channel. They didn't change the SCSI commands. They just built upon it, and then they used a fiber optics to transfer SCSI commands over Fiber Channel. So why is it that they're saying that this is all brand new, that they got a brand new patent over this stuff? Why is it that they're getting this type of protection? Because we're allowing way too much protection. They shouldn't be getting these long years of, oh, protecting their technology. Now, it's the same thing with pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies, in lots of ways, aren't necessarily forging a new path. You know, an aspirin is an aspirin is an aspirin. That's why aspirin is dirt cheap. But there are some things that they're doing, like in specific disease research, such as what I'm interested in, it is very interesting. And it's very, very competitive. It's very arduous, very expensive. And so I can understand some of these patents for some pharmaceutical purposes, but I cannot and I do not. And as a matter of fact, when we come back, I will tell you why we pay so much in America. We'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I have done some discovery, and I've been telling you, I even wrote this in my first book, that America has been subsidizing communism. At least I think I put it in my first book, that we've been subsidizing communism and the spread of communism for the past century. And whether you like it or not, when you look at what you spend on healthcare, especially your pharmaceutical medicine, why is it that we spend so much more than anybody else in the whole world? Why? So everybody else in the whole world can get it cheaper from the same companies. In other words, you're subsidizing socialism or social welfare in every other country. When are you going to say enough is enough? When are you going to say everybody should pay their fair share? You know, because these countries are so poor, that's only poor because they're being ran by despots. I can't believe there are some countries that are desolate. Like, I mean, look at Afghanistan. Really, its only product, other than probably minerals and those types of things. As a matter of fact, I would like to see, you know, a real potential, a survey done of Afghanistan,
of what all of its potential resources are. In other words, what type of minerals does it have? What, you know, how can it offer something to, you know, to support its own economy other than opium? Now, when we look at all these other countries in the world, you know, most of them have resources. Most of them have their own abilities. Okay, Somalia and some African nations, come on, they don't. And come on, the fact is that the reason people live there is because they're trapped. Now, there are port cities that, might be able to sustain and support, you know, like I think Mogadishu or what have you, those port cities, then they can support some life. But when you get into the interior, any type of vegetation or agriculture, and I don't even know about resources, minerals, every single country should have a, you know, a full resource evaluation to determine, can they really sustain themselves? We know America can. The problem is that our politicians, the federal government, has been selling us downriver and locking our abilities away from tapping our resources. There's not one state in this union that wants to kill, you know, and pollute and do those types of things. Nothing like what the EPA did in Colorado. That was the federal government. The only reason they did that was, and my only deduction is, that they wanted to prove how dangerous and how bad it is. And so this is why they damaged, and they're not held accountable. They damaged all the life downriver when they made that toxic spill. So what are we doing? Why is it that we are the ones subsidizing socialism? This is, you know, this is a critical question that we have to start asking. And as far as a Bill of Rights, government should actually be, you know, seriously looking at both resources as well as these patents. These patents become problematic when all of a sudden they create barriers for competition. I understand protecting it for a little while, but 40 years, 20 years, I'm sorry. That's, you know, especially when a company wants to actually move itself into a monopoly. Now, if they move themselves into a monopoly and they maintain a complete availability, in other words, there's never a shortage of aluminum like Alcoa was being able to answer the market consumption of aluminum, and they were able to do everything that they were doing and still kept people from entering because they couldn't afford, based on their profit models, to come in. Okay, I'm okay with that type of thing. But I'm not okay with a company getting the government to protect them so that they can have a corner on the market. And that's what these big tech companies are doing. Anyway, as we look at the Constitution, again, the intent was to promote science and useful arts and providing some patents, but they should not be indefinite. This does not promote anything. Patents become a hindrance to innovations, period. And so we need to actually start using technology, because bottom line, there are countries like China that's stealing our trade secrets even while they're in within reasonable patent space. Why are they doing it? So that they can make and sell the exact same product in China and the other countries that they have their foothold in. And by the way, if you look at all those other countries that they're selling HP technology in, it's the whole world. The reason HP is not selling, and the reason these companies aren't doing really well, but you don't know this until all of a sudden when the market collapses because of communism, then you go, oh my gosh, we're hardly selling anything. And the only reason the market is doing well is because of quantitative easing and the games and the manipulation that those who are in control are able to do. If we had a free market, it would have collapsed a long time ago, and America would have responded immediately. This is why we're completely numb and we're completely, you know, out to lunch on what is really going on. Okay, so one of the most important parts of the Bill of Rights, or an equally important part, is the right of conscience. Citizens have a constitutional right to decide what is best for them, that they have a right to choose their religious expressions. They have a right to choose, you know, what they want to do, what clothes they want to wear, what they can eat, what they won't eat, how they want to conduct their lives, and how they want to live. Along with that, of course, comes, you know, whether you want to accept treatment or not treatment. We have the opportunity and we have the full say whether we're going to accept treatment or not. Fact is, we have a conscientious right. And so if you understand the abortion movement tried to make this claim that they have a conscientious right. The problem is that there's another conscientious right that they're violating. And so the big question is, and this is why they tried to obscure this, that it's not life until it's born. But in every other circumstance, whether it be a turtle, whether it be an eagle, unhatched eggs, or what have you, if you destroy the nest with eggs of bald eagles in it, you are fine because you've killed that life. Well, it's not life yet. See my point? The same thing with turtles. Same thing with other endangered species. Why is it that we treat animals better than human beings? And there's no doubt in my mind, our Lord and Savior is not looking highly upon this paradigm, these mores of this society. Maybe not your mores, but the prevailing mores that have actually either that or have controlled America and have moved us into this sorrowful state. The right to accept or refuse any government offering or service is ultimately the citizen's choice, regardless of reason. It is referred to as a conscientious objection. You have a choice of being able to go to where you don't have to be a part of a religious organization. They can't question you based on what faith you belong to. Prove it that it's within your faith. No, you have a right to conscientiously object. This is why we go through Madison's paragraph on property. Remember, as you have rights in your property, you have property in your rights. So when they start taking your right of conscience, they're taking your property away. Government cannot constitutionally compel a person or any citizen into receiving a service, benefit, or offering. Using a tax, if someone does not comply, is tantamount to a bill of attainder or punishment and is unconstitutional. Or it's an ex post facto law. All this time we've had vaccinations and now all of a sudden they want to tax you or they want to make it illegal. That's an ex post facto law. Right now, as they came out with the COVID-19 vaccinations, they said, hey, you know, you can get it if you want. And then all of a sudden they want to tell you, well, you're going to have to get it or we're going to come after you. That is an ex post facto law. The federal government can't do it. They can't do bills of attainder or ex post facto laws. And this is why it's important to understand both of these things. Ex post facto laws take something that is perfectly legitimate and legal and now makes it illegal. And a bill of attainder basically says, well, if you don't want to comply, then we're going to punish you with a tax or some other type of penalty. Big tech. So the big tech in the Bill of Rights for the 21st century, we need to start making them pay. We need to make them pay the taxes in every state where they're making revenue. Making sure all interstate and international tech companies report any and all revenue generated in each state. So if you click on a Google link that takes you to Amazon or anywhere else, Google just made money on that transaction. And as a matter of fact, as people start to understand this, then I believe people will start actually using Google just deliberately so that they can click, 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 so that in that state, they can actually force Google to start paying more money to their state. Wouldn't that be great? When you start ramping up your activity, in other words, transactions for Google, transactions for Facebook, transactions for Twitter, when you click on links and going to ads and so forth, they make money. That's a transaction. That means they just made money in your state. that is taxable and they're not reporting it. And they've been getting away with this for years. This has to stop. And when we come back, we'll be right back after these two promos and we'll dig into more of this.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
It does not matter if that company has a physical presence or not. When a company conducts business and makes revenue in a state, by state law, I don't think there's any state in the union that doesn't say you have to report that revenue and you have to pay taxes on it. Now, big tech's been getting away with this for a long, long time. Sadly, some states actually went down the path of saying, you got to provide sales tax from all of these, you know, out-of-state, you know, the transactions that have occurred so that we can make our money from the people that are, you know, from our state. And I'm going, that was the biggest mistake South Dakota could have ever made, because what they did was they asked the federal government to unconstitutionally involve themselves in the procurement of sales tax for the states. That's a state responsibility. What the states should have done was they should go back and say, federal government, we don't want you doing this anymore. We're actually going to make all of our money going after Google. We're going to make all of our money going after these big tech companies, and that's what we're going to do. And so that way they can actually start making their revenue from those transactions that are actually occurring instead of those transactions of sales. Because I don't understand that when, you know, and it's the same thing. I kind of get the sales tax thing, and I'm kind of okay with it, but not at the federal level. Bottom line is, I think that the states should be suing directly instead of going to the federal government saying, hey, would you please protect us? The states need to sue Amazon. They need to sue Walmart. They need to sue all of these companies that are doing all this online business. And then you can start extrapolating your pound of flesh. The bigger problem is these companies like Facebook. How does Facebook make money? Do you remember all of the ads that you're bombarded with in Facebook, Twitter, and social media regarding the election and information and so forth? Now, every time Facebook takes money from a candidate in your state, are they reporting that? No. And every time they make money from you clicking on that ad, and going down that path, are they reporting that? No. Facebook is making money and they're not, right there in your state, and they're not paying taxes. So big tech needs to actually be taxed, and they need to be taxed appropriately. And as a matter of fact, because they like hiding crap, I think their tax ought to be higher, at a higher rate than any other in-state corporation, especially if they're an out-of-state corporation. As I honestly think it's okay for states to start becoming very aggressive towards out-of-state companies that are doing this. See, Walmart's in every state, so you don't have to go after Walmart with all fangs out and be really aggressive. But Google, no, you go after these guys. Facebook, Twitter, they don't have any presence, and they want to do transactions. There you go. Go get them, guys. Anyway, again, this tax should be higher revenue tax since they are not contributing to the other tax streams that a physical company would have to pay in your state, i.e. the energy tax for roadways. They're not running their vehicles in there, but they sure are getting other vehicles to be running in there. And so if they were operating within that state, they would be generating even more taxes. If you understand what I'm saying, if Facebook had offices in your state, they would have the facilities, they would be having the electrical bills, they would have the utilities, and all of these other taxes that they would be generating because they had presence in your state. And because they're operating outside your state, well, without all that other overhead of taxes that your state would be benefiting from, well, then you should be able to tax them at a higher rate, because now they've by being out of state, they're trying to eliminate those types of footprints, those types of liabilities or taxes and costs and so forth. If the state currently requires all companies operating in your state must report, and I believe this is every state in the union, their revenues and these companies have yet to report, they need to be fined and they need to basically be held accountable for failing to report. For every year they fail to report, you hit them with a penalty and or a fee. The other part of this is protecting citizens' intellectual property and privacy rights. We've kind of talked about this, but all tech companies must disclose all forms and types of data and information that they are obtaining, retaining, sharing, or selling in any way. And they need to provide the actual person who they're obtaining all of this information from. They need to get their permission to share their digital footprint, to share their identity, to share any of that information. Not even your ISP should be able to do that. There should be a confidentiality between you, your ISP, and every company you work with. They should not be able to just take your data and give it to everybody. Give it to the government and give it to these aggressive big tech companies that want to exploit you. They must provide an opting out, like I said before, for all citizens of the state, as well as a removal of processes or complete blocking of code operating on your system that sends, shares, or communicates any of their data without their knowledge, or without your knowledge, I should say. So in other words, there has to be a way that they can provide a blocking to guarantee that you're not getting spoofed, because they say, oh yeah, we're not taking any of your data, but they are. It's kind of like what Google got caught with, telling you that you could operate incognito and nobody would know, and they were tracking every minute of what you were doing incognito. Seriously? That companies that get underhanded like that, when they lie like that, they should be sued, and I'm glad Google got sued. They have not been sued enough. As a matter of fact, only until they finally get close to the brink of bankruptcy would I be satisfied, because I look at Google as an anti-humane and an anti-civil company. It is a company that embraces communism, and so guess who's a number one enemy of Google, or I should say who Google is the number one enemy of? just like China. Anyway, let me see here. Green energy. Okay, so now these are all about Bill of Rights, right? So when people actually go out and get themselves an electric car, there are taxes that they are skipping on because they're no longer paying for gasoline by the gallon. They're just upping their house energy bill. What should happen is when a car becomes, an electric car becomes registered in the state, that registered owner should be paying the taxes that would be the average or high use or what have you. Now, this may be the way to get the mileage because anybody that's paying at the pump is paying their fair share because they're paying by the gallon. Now, any electric car that's not paying by the gallon, they're not paying their fair share in taxes. Therefore, they should be calculated, and every year they renew their tags, they should report their mileage and have it verified every 3 years. And if they come to find out that they cheated, then they get heavily fined. But bottom line is, these guys aren't paying for the road upkeeps. These guys are not paying for your transportation, upgrade support, infrastructure support, so forth and so on. And no wonder more and more people are going to this because they're subsidizing themselves, or actually they're getting you to subsidize for them, if you know what I mean. Solar paneled homes or businesses, they too must completely sever their connection with the grid, or they're going to have to pay for all of the grid upkeep. Because here's the problem. If they're not paying for that, the constant maintenance of the grid, because the grid cost, that electrical grid cost, has to be paid by somebody. Now, I'm not putting it in here yet, but it's going to go in here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to restore, we're going to put in here, restore public utilities to the public. And so I'll get into that details when we come back. Not today, because I don't have it ready, but if anybody understands this, your public utilities are not public right now. They've got CEOs that are making millions of dollars based on the profits that they're making. Do you have any questions as to why our grid is so, you know, I'll just say, what's the best word for dilapidated, blight? Why they are so inept? Why they're so vulnerable to hacking, and why China can shut us down? Those types of things. Are you curious as to why? It's because they move these things to a profit model so that they can use these things as a cash cow, and they're basically killing the goose that's laying the golden egg. Seriously. We'll get back to that. Now, what we're talking about on green energy, we have these solar panels, we have all of these different ways that people can try to bypass the cost of the grid. And in so doing, they're bypassing their fair share of that grid upkeep. They're just paying a very nominal fee. And if you look at how most utility companies are, if you use less, you pay a lower tax. Well, that's not necessarily the best way to do this. Everybody should be paying an equal gulp. It's different if you are, you know, disabled, if you are unable to pay because of some reason, then those types of reasons are a case-by-case basis. We have to look at that. Anyway, we'll finish this up in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.